Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. To discuss the remedy for sin presumes that we understand the reality of sin and that it is a desirable thing to find the remedy for it. We're confident that once a person is impressed with what sin is and what sin does, that he'll want the remedy for it. Possibly a commonplace illustration can help us see the lesson we want to present. Once I was quite sick with some kind of respiratory illness. I was suffering from chills and fever and aches that were characteristic of my ailment. Something was wrong, and I realized I was sick. What I wanted more than anything at that moment was to be well again. But what was I to do? Having once accepted the fact that I was sick and in need of some remedy, I had to ask, who can provide what I need? In this instance, I needed a doctor who understood how to deal with my problems. So going to the doctor, he told me what I should do, what medicine to relieve me. At this point, I was still sick, but at least I knew how to get the remedy. Once having secured the remedy, it had to be applied. I took the medicine prescribed, and soon I was well again. Now, this illustrates our spiritual situation. We have the spiritual disease of sin. For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. There's no use denying this reality. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, Romans 5 and verse 12. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin, Romans 3 and verse 9. Now the consequences of our spiritual malady are far worse than any physical disease can do to us. Sin brings death, Romans 6:23, and the death involved here is a spiritual death, a separation from God, no entrance into heaven, an eternal banishment into hell. But thanks be to God, there is a remedy for this disease of sin. Before we will look for a remedy, however, we must be convinced we are in need of a remedy. The people on Pentecost had to first realize they were in sin, but once they did, they asked, what must we do? The jailer in Philippi had to be convinced that he was lost, but once he was convinced, he asked, what must I do to be saved? Nobody will be concerned over finding the remedy for sin until he's convinced he needs it. Once convinced of sin, we then seek one who can provide the remedy. What is the opposite of spiritual death, except spiritual life? Who can provide spiritual life? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The message of Scripture is that spiritual life is provided by the Lord through his Son, Jesus Christ. Our redemption has been set forth by God through Christ, Romans 5 and 25. Rather than asking what is the remedy for sin, we are in reality asking who is the remedy for sin, and the answer is Jesus Christ. He is the author of our salvation, Hebrews 5:9. He came to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. This was his mission and purpose, John 12 and verse 47. He was called the Savior from his birth, Luke 2 and verse 11. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by him, John 14:6. And there is no other, Acts 4:12. The gift of grace is by one man, Jesus Christ, Romans 5:15 and 17. Christ redeemed us, and we are justified through the redemption that is in Christ, Romans 3:24 and 25. And there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, Romans 8 and verse 1. As Peter responded, thou hast the words of eternal life, John 6:68. Yes, Christ is a physician to whom we go. They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance, Mark 2 and verse 17. So we have repeatedly established the major emphasis of this lesson. Christ is the remedy for sin, the only remedy for sin. For this reason, we preach Christ, urging the sinful in this world to go to Christ for the remedy they need. Well, what is it about Christ that makes him the remedy for sin? Again, we turn to the Scriptures. For if the blood of bulls and goats and of ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 9:13-14. To Christian people, John wrote, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. Revelation 5:9. For thou wast slain, and did purchase unto God with thy blood every tribe and tongue and people and nations. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye that once were afar off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. What are we learning here? Friend, the remedy for sin is in the blood of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. We have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. And the price was the blood of Christ, Acts 20:28. And we are loosed from our sins by his blood, Revelation 1:5. We often sing the hymn that asks the question, what can wash away my sins? And the answer comes ringing back, nothing but the blood of Jesus. The conclusion reached thus far is then that Christ is the remedy for our sins by his shed blood. But let us go one step further. Where did Christ shed his blood? John 19 tells us, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. Then his blood was shed in his death, wasn't it? Again, we see how this harmonizes with such affirmations as we find in Colossians 1:22 and in Romans 5:10, both of which teach that we are reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Christ that was shed in his death is the remedy for sins. Recalling our original illustration, I was not free of my physical ailment until the prescribed remedy had been applied. And so it is with a remedy for our spiritual disease. The blood must be applied. And how is the blood of Christ applied to our sin-stained souls and we are made free from sin? Follow closely each step, as Scripture explains. Romans 6:3-4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. By reaching the death of Christ, we come in contact with the sin-remedying blood of Christ. We get into the death of Christ when we're baptized into Christ. The application of the blood of Christ becomes a reality when we obey the command to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Little wonder then that Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:60. He recognized that his blood is the remedy for sin, and that in baptism we reach his blood. Little wonder that Peter affirms that baptism doth now also save us. 1 Peter 3:21. He knew the blood of Christ is the remedy for sin, and that in baptism the blood washes away our sins. Ananias told Saul of Tarsus to be baptized and wash away thy sins. Acts 22:16. What was the cleansing agent? What washed away his sins? It was not any power of the water into which he was taught to be immersed, but the power of the blood. He wrote, Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now we have the answer to the most important matter the human mind can consider. What is the remedy for sin? The remedy for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary, which is applied to the needy sinner when he obeys the divine command to be baptized into Christ. Our earnest and sincere plea is that all will respect the blood of Christ and hasten without delay to obey and be saved. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.